Well, welcome to the City on the Hill studio for our Friday night podcast. Lord bless you for being here. As you know, we are calling the remnant because we believe that God has a remnant, and it's time for the remnant to stand up and to bring about the changes, not in the world, but to bring about the changes in the house of the Lord for God's people, so that God is pleased and so that God could have a people to work through to do mighty things on this earth, supernatural things. It's all about the supernatural. So I welcome you again. I'm Pastor Danny Lalanne. This is my son Benji, my wife Julie. We'll welcome you here tonight. I'm excited to get into some things that I hope are going to hopefully change your life, but at the very least will start some things churning inside of you so that you can begin to have that desire and passion to get up and really go after the Lord with a fire inside of your belly. So we're going to get things started this evening. Our style here, we're trying to keep it conversational. Every once in a while, I jump into a little bit of preaching because that's what I do. So you'll have to forgive me for that. But what do you have for us, Julie? What are we going to get started with tonight?
Well, I thought it would be a good idea to answer a few questions that we get through the feedback on our social media. People send questions So I'm going to throw some of these questions at you. They're big ones, but let's start with this. Why do you call your church an Old Testament church?
Yeah, you couldn't have thrown me a softy to start with. You could. Welcome. Yeah, thanks.
We get that one a lot.
Thanks a lot.
We get that one a lot. So here you go.
Well, let me just kind of
gird up your loins.
Yeah.
That's very Old Testament.
Well, let me just kind of, I got to really go back for this one. I don't know how many people know our history of where we come from, but our history, our heritage has defined who we are today. Excuse me. Our heritage has made us who we are today. Our people, we could have 10 podcasts about this, but our heritage, comes from the country of Armenia. And as most of you know, from the history perspective, the country of Armenia was the first Christian nation on the earth. It's the first nation that gave itself to Christianity. And so flash forward hundreds and hundreds of years, the Ottoman Empire, the Muslim Turks, decided that they were going to go into their mortal enemies, the country of Armenia, and they were going to have a genocide, killing hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Armenians. Well, in the middle of that, decades before that happened, God spoke to a prophet who amongst our people, and
very young prophet.
It was about 50 years before that happened, when he was just a boy.
And God spoke to him, and he couldn't read or write. These were villagers that didn't have education per se, but God began to give him maps and drawings of one day there was going to arise a desperate need for these people to follow the prophetic word that was given and to obey it. Flash forward decades, and it was time for the first letter. There were two letters. The first letter to be opened, and when they opened it, the letter said, destruction is going to come. You're going to have to pick up everything and move to this country. The country ended up being the United States. It showed where they were supposed to land on the East Coast and then continue over to the West Coast, into what is California, the Southern California area. These people, our people, are my family, and a group of people that were believers in not just God, because the entire nation of Armenia was a Christian nation, but these people were followers of the anointed prophetic word of God. And they so trusted God, they sold or gave away everything, hopped on boats and came to this country without knowing the language, without having a job, without having money. They came and God said, I'm going to prosper you if you come and I'm going to use you. Again, we could have 10 podcasts just about this. You could go read The Happiest People on Earth, written by Demo Shikarian, which spells this out in much detail. And in fact, in my latest book about the remnant, we spend a good chapter talking about some of this heritage stuff. But they came here and began to be used of God mightily in changing the earth, what God's doing on this earth amongst his people. Today, we have built on that heritage and are still called to the same things. God has given us his promises to be able to change his church so that he can use it supernaturally. Now, all of that being said, I believe it was Demos who wrote that book who said these words. He said, we're an Old Testament people. We're an Old Testament people. And I guess there's a lot of ways I could go with that. I could talk about their customs. I could talk about their diet. I could talk about the way they cook food. I could talk about a lot of different ways, meaning an Old Testament church, but I want to keep it on the spiritual side with this. When he said we're an Old Testament church, what he meant was we believe God has his prophets, and we believe that we are to follow his prophets. Someone asked Demos, and you could go Google Demos Shikarian, and he probably touched as many or more lives on this planet through his organization than maybe anybody in history. I don't know. He had lives that were touched around the world by the millions upon millions upon millions because of what he did for the Lord and his organization did for the Lord, all based on what God did for our heritage. But he also put, when someone would ask him, they would say, why are you successful? Why are your people, this Armenian people, this why are they so blessed? Why is God so with them in such a mighty way? And his answer was this, because we listen to our prophets. We listen to our prophets. So when he said we're an Old Testament church, he was talking specifically about the prophetic word of God and the importance of listening to those prophets. That is how we do things here at the City on a Hill. We run things in a prophetic manner. Everything goes through the prophetic word of God. That is, you would say, if anyone were to ask us, what is your organizational style? It is the prophetic. That is our organizational style because we have found that when you do things, now again, before I go any further, I must say this. The anointed prophetic word of God, it's a rare thing.
Right.
It's a rare thing on this planet. And what God has given our heritage has been proven generation after generation after generation after generation. And I say that because most people have a recency bias. They are biased toward what is happening right now, but that's not how God does things. God proves things, and he shows where his anointing lies, where it sits. And so our ministry is based on generations of proven prophetic anointing of God. And because of that, we consider ourselves, just like Demos said years ago, and we're an Old Testament church, which kind of flies in the face of all the churches that go out of their way to say, well, we're a New Testament church. We're a New Testament church. And I think maybe last week or the week before during our podcast, I think we even hit on the fact of why do people try to be like the New Testament church so much? It's almost, It's almost sickening. The New Testament church was fledgling. They had so many problems because they were just getting started that finally Jesus had to come in Revelation to the seven churches in Asia and say, hey, you have screwed this up. You have messed this up. And I've got to come and try to fix this now because my church has been messed up. Paul, if you go read his writings, so much of Paul's writings was geared toward, hey, you're messing this whole thing up. You got to fix this. And if you don't know what to do, then imitate me at least. He actually said that. He said, imitate me. Because they were messing it up so royally messing it up. So when people say we're a New Testament church, they're so way off course. But we're an Old Testament church. We do things through the prophetic model of God. And again, I'm saying a lot of things here, a lot of it that needs a lot more discussion. You know, we get up and talk about these things service after service, lesson after lesson, meeting after meeting. People that are a part of the City on the Hill, they know where I'm going with all this. But we're trying to reach people that are not a part of the City on the Hill. So I implore you, go and read about us. Go and read the Happiest People on Earth. Go and read the books that God has helped us to put out. Go and listen to how we do things and how we minister. Go and find out about how God is doing things here. We're not doing it to get a crowd. We're doing it to please God. That's why we do what we do. Did I even touch on your question at all?
Yes. But I think it's important to put, you know, as a part of it, the scripture. When Paul was instructing Timothy, and he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that he was talking about the scriptures that are the Old Testament. Of course, he's talking about all of the script, you know, all scripture, but right. What he was specifically referring to was the law and the prophets as what they were called.
That's right. That's a great
doctrine.
Scripture. And you know, I've
doctrine.
Talked about it many times. But when Paul wrote that scripture, I could get into dates and things like that. I believe Paul's last epistle was 2 Timothy, I believe. And I believe it was written before the first gospel was written. If I'm not mistaken, someone could check that. But I believe Paul's last epistle was written before even the first gospel was written. So why are you saying that? I'm saying it for this reason. Because when Paul said all scripture is given by inspiration of God, he wasn't talking about the New Testament. Now, I know we can encompass it. It's the New Testament. It's the Word of God. We know the New Testament's the Word of God, that it is. But when Paul wrote that, he wasn't talking about the New Testament. And in today's church, the devil has so craftily gotten people thinking, well, when all scripture, that's talking about from Matthew through Revelation. That's all. No. When Paul said all scripture, he was specifically talking about the Old Testament. He was specifically talking about saying from Genesis all the way through Malachi and all these scriptures. This is the Word of God. And he not only said this is the Word of God and it is inspired of God, but he said it is for doctrine. And
he was very specific.
Very specific.
Those
he
four
said
things
this
he said.
Scripture, and again, I've already made it clear, when he said all scripture, he was talking about the Old Testament. Talking about the Old Testament. So when he said all scripture talking about the Old Testament is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, he was talking about the Old Testament. So when people say, Pastor, where do you get the doctrine from that you teach? By and large, We get it from the Old Testament. That's where doctrine is supposed to be found, is from the Old Testament. I'm not making this up. This is what Paul said. People just don't understand that's what Paul was saying. The church has been so sold a bill of goods that they take things that Paul wrote. And I'm going to be careful because I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. They take things that Paul wrote to specific churches, to specific situations, to specific things involving things that they wore, things how they looked, things that they did, relationships, and specific circumstances, and they take it and they make doctrines. What am I talking about? They make denominations based on those things. And they don't understand that Paul was not giving doctrine in those cases. Paul was trying to help a baby church just take their first steps, is what he was trying to do. He wasn't trying to give them doctrine. Now, I know there's going to be people out there that are going to be thinking, is this guy trying to say that the New Testament is not the Word? No, no, no. The New Testament is the Word of God.
Absolutely.
The New Testament is the Word of God. But you have to determine what it's for. The New Testament is for showing us the person of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus was all throughout the Old Testament.
Yes.
From the beginning to the end, Jesus was a part of the Old Testament. Everything that was made through him, the living word. But the New Testament is there to reveal the person of Jesus come in the flesh. And the New Testament is there to show that the Holy Spirit has come and we can now receive the Holy Spirit. We can now receive it and speak in tongues and walk in the gifts of the Spirit as it was intended. That's what the New Testament is there for, by and large. I preach from it, I teach from it, but doctrine, rightfully understood, is actually found in the Old Testament. It actually is found in the Old. Anything you want to add, Benji?
I mean, I was going to say that we emphasize the Old Testament so much because we make the point, it's a very simple point, that God doesn't change. He doesn't change.
I'm so glad you said that.
He doesn't change the way that he does things for his people. He doesn't change the way that he runs his perfect law. I'm not talking about like the law of Moses, right? I'm talking about his perfect law. Like the Bible says, perfect law of liberty and things like that. And I was just looking through some of my personal scriptures, and I found a verse in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, that says, I am the Lord, I change not. And then there's one in the New Testament as well, in Hebrews, that says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today,
Amen.
And forever.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because there are clues throughout the Word of God that are there. There are principles that are there.
Yeah.
That show exactly what we're talking about. But again, the devil has so craftily gotten people's attention on a couple of words, and they build their entire life off of a couple of words instead of taking it off, living off of the entire living, breathing Word of God that has been inspired by God. Again, going back to what I was saying, Benji, you're right. God doesn't change. So if God said it to Adam, if he said it to Abraham, if he said it to Moses, to David, to Isaiah, to Daniel, to Malachi, if he said it, then he meant it. He meant it, and he meant it for us, because God doesn't change. And people get up in their... all up in themselves, as they say, with the idea, oh yeah, but the Bible says that we are free from these, the burden of living out the law. Absolutely. Absolutely so. That is absolutely true. We are free from the law of Moses that was meant to be a shadow of things to come. We are free from having to live these specific things out that were to help them get to the place of salvation. But that's actually such a small part. It is such a small part of what the Old Testament is all about. That was just the part that kept them in a place of righteousness before the Lord. But once you're made righteous through the blood of Jesus, you still have a life to live. You still have things that God expects from you. God has requirements of you. And it has nothing to do with the law of Moses. Nothing to do. It has to do with living in his kingdom. It has to do with working and seeking first the kingdom of God. It has to do with that God, we're not talking about Moses. We're talking about that God is still a lawgiver. When you take away God as the lawgiver, then people can do anything they want to do, and that just leads them to hell.
That's why the way that God laid things out for us to do from the very beginning has not changed.
And
that's what the Word of God, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is there for us
to... we're talking about Paul. Let's talk about Paul. When Paul was teaching the people, this is what he taught them. He said, hey, you want to know what you're supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be the seed of Abraham. He directly pointed back to the book of Genesis. He directly said, hey, you're the seed of Abraham. If you are Christ, he didn't say, I could get going on this one. He didn't say if you are Christ, that you're, that you know, you're supposed to hold hands and you know, just give hugs to each other. Oh, we're like the New Testament church. That's not what he said. He said, if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He pointed directly back and said, let me tell you what the church is. The church is the seed of Abraham. That's the seed of Abraham. Why? Because Christ is the seed of Abraham.
It also says
It
also says in that chapter, it's in Galatians he's referencing, those who are of faith, key word right there, are sons of Abraham.
That's exactly, very good, very good.
Can I highlight something? Talking about what doctrine, what is the doctrine? What are we supposed to be looking at? And you said in... putting first the kingdom of God. I mean, there needs to be just some basic steps. And I mean, all the way back in Genesis, in chapter 3, when God was, we can find what the doctrine is just in some the words that he was saying when he spoke to Cain after Cain and Abel brought their offerings to the Lord.
Yes.
And he said to Cain, because he said God did not respect Cain's offering. But he did respect Abel's offering.
Yes.
And Cain was upset and he was angry. And God, the words that God said were, why are you angry?
I love that
if
word,
you
respect.
Do well, will you not be accepted?
Well,
and if you don't do well, sin lies at the door.
That's
but
so
you
good,
should
yeah.
rule over it. I mean,
that's so
is
good.
Doctrine right there.
Well, here's the thing where people make a mistake. And maybe we've hit on this before. I don't know. I know I preach about it all the time. But there's a difference between righteousness and holiness. Righteousness only comes through salvation in Jesus Christ.
There is no other way.
He is the door. You cannot. You could go and slay 10,000 bulls. You can go and get 1,000 foreskins of the Philistines. You can go and do whatever you want to do. You could never become righteous on your own. It is impossible without the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only way to being righteous. But there's a difference between righteousness and holiness. God said this. He said, and again, this is both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, by the way. It says, be holy, for I am holy. That is a commandment that God says. He says for us to do. He doesn't say, I will make you holy. He says, you be holy because I'm holy.
In other words, it's in your hands.
Holiness is actually an Old Testament principle of showing separation, of showing because I'm going to please my God, I'm going to separate myself from the world. Because I'm going to please my God, I'm going to exalt God with what I do. Because I'm going to please my God, I'm going to live my life in such a way that now that I'm righteous, I can actually do this now. Because I've been made righteous and been filled with the Spirit of the living God, I now can live a holy life. It is actually an Old Testament principle, but because the God's people by and large have cut that off, they don't understand holiness. It's something that our people desperately sought to do throughout the generations, was to live holy before the Lord. And again, there are things that we personally do. My family, this is not something that we preach as a matter of, oh, we want everyone to do this. But there's things that we've decided to do based on our heritage that we do, not because it is required of God, not because it is a heaven or hell thing, but because we have decided that we're going to show God that we are willing to live in a way that is maybe even a sacrificial thing we do, not that our sacrifice matters to salvation, but it shows God that we want to be holy. There are things that we do, and I encourage everybody that you've got to go into the Old Testament and let the Word of God get inside of you. Let it fill your lungs and your life and say, Lord, how can I be holy? How can I? Lord, I'm not asking. I know that you've made me righteous, but you've commanded that I do things to show you that I'm willing to live in holiness. You've commanded that I separate myself. What is it that I need to do?
For those of you who have had resonate in you for such a long time, the verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God, and you talk about putting God first, and there's the question raising within you, how exactly do I do this? Is there anything specific I need to be doing? What he just said is how you do that. It's living your life, not saying to yourself, what can I do for myself to make things better for my own situation? What can I do in my life to specifically aim for pleasing God?
Amen. Because
that
is what our life is about.
Revolving around that.
It's about pleasing God.
It's your focus in life.
That is what has so been lost on the church. Everybody is looking for a way, for the easiest way to serve God. That's what the church has become. What is the easiest way?
Most convenient.
That's a good word. Yeah. The most convenient way, and that has nothing. Our lives, every second, should be, Lord, how can I please you? And then how can I please you more? The Bible says this about Enoch. It says Enoch walked with God, and it says he pleased God. And then it says, and he was not, meaning that God just took. Enoch pleased God so much that he didn't even see death. He didn't even die because he pleased. That is what our life should be about. It's about pleasing God. That's why we go back to the Old Testament. People always say, they say, boy, you sure do preach a lot from the Old Testament. People here at the City on the Hill are used to it, and they expect it. But that's because that's where the doctrine of pleasing God is. That's where it is. You have to... most people have it backwards. Most people, they start at Jesus and move forward, when actually you should start at Jesus in the New Testament and then move backwards in the Word of God. That's what Paul did. That's what he did. We consider him the writer of most of the New Testament. And that's what he did over and over and over and over and over again. He said, he made the point of Jesus, but now look backwards at where your doctrine actually comes from. Again, I want to go back to where we started. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And people can argue it. They can say, well, he was doing this. He was saying this. You can make any argument you want. You're just looking spiritually foolish at this point. You cannot argue that there was no New Testament. There was no New Testament at this point. You cannot argue that point. And so what New Testament was Timothy supposed to go get? There was no New Testament. There was none. There was none, and so other than cobbling up some letters he had saved from Paul in his back pocket, that were there, Paul was telling Timothy, hey, you need to go back and you need to read the scriptures. You need to read the law, the prophets. You need to read Genesis and Exodus, and you need to go and read these things and learn your doctrine. And he wasn't telling him to be a better Jewish man. He was telling him to be a better Christian man. You need to go read these scriptures.
That's really
because this is gonna make you the minister that God has called you to be, my son Timothy. Again, just another scripture from the book of Hebrews, just very quickly. It says for the Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, that's talking about the word of God. And of course, that's all the word of God. But at that time, the word of God was the Old Testament. And now again, we believe that that's also including the prophetic word of God that God speaks. But there was no New Testament at that point. That wasn't even on the table yet. And so if you don't understand that, if you don't understand what Benji said, God doesn't change, then the devil is cut out of your life where you're supposed to be getting your doctrine from. And because he's done that, that is why you have churches that have thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and I'm not so sure how many of them aren't going to hell. And it's sad to say, but because there's no doctrine that is proper and right and based on the lawgiver God himself, there is no doctrine. And something has to be done. That's why we're having these remnant podcasts, with the hope and belief that the Holy Spirit is going to begin to touch people's hearts all over the world. Anything else that is involving this?
I'm glad you said that. I think probably the gist of what we need to be doing when it comes to the Old Testament and our own personal study of the scriptures is to take whatever it is that we're reading, if we're reading a book or a few chapters, and read them and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what it is that is in there that speaks to us about God's character and about how we can become more holy. Like, for instance, reading the book of Job, instead of focusing on the suffering, focus on when it says in the first chapter that the Lord said to Satan, you know, so what have you been doing? He said, I've been going around all around the earth, and the Lord said to him, hey, have you seen my servant Job?
Yes. Yes.
He is blameless.
Yes.
He's blameless and more upright man than anyone in the earth. I'm going to take that doctrine and I'm going to say, oh, the Lord wants me to please him so much that he would call me an upright person, more blameless and upright than anyone in the earth. That's the doctrine.
Well, you know, that's good. And here's the problem that you see. And we'll start bringing this to a close. But because people do not understand that their Christian life is upheld by the doctrines of the Old Testament, because they don't understand that, then a lot of actually what they're doing and reading in the New Testament makes no sense. It makes no sense, and so they have to try to make it make sense. They have to try to make it something that fits, because they don't understand that all this New Testament stuff is actually based on Old Testament stuff. And because of that, they have to kind of make up their own ideas about what serving God is about. And it has just become, it has become such a mutated form of what serving God is about, because they don't understand that this New Testament stuff is actually based on the Old Testament stuff. And if you don't understand that, for example, the whole idea that God, I preach it all the time, God requires. Once you enter through the blood of Christ, God, from that moment on, God requires. He requires from you. But if you don't understand how God works, how his character works, how he does things, then what you're left with, oh, well, Jesus paid the price for me, and I could do what I want to now, because he paid the price. I can just say I love people and I'm doing my job. I love. But that you've got to understand, he did pay the price. He paid the ultimate price to earn your salvation, your righteousness, because he's the only one that could do it. No one else could have made you righteous, only his blood. But because of that, your life is supposed to be given to the understanding of, okay, now God requires. God, if I'm going to climb, if I'm going to walk in the supernatural, if I'm going to please God, if I'm going to be holy, you say, well, let's talk about the holiness thing for a minute. No, the same God that said, love your neighbor, said, be holy for I am holy. The same God. So you can't question if God wants you to be holy or not. If you question it, then I'm going to question if you really serve God. If you question this fact of living a holy life, then I'm going to question if you actually serve God. Because the same God that said, love your neighbor, said, be holy for I am holy. And so if you don't understand how the Old Testament doctrine, then you're not going to understand anything, even what Jesus did for you. You're not going to understand it because it's all based on God's character that is revealed in the Old Testament. It just is. You can argue it till you're blue in the face, and I can see people turning up their hot tub a little hotter and saying, well, that guy's not going to tell me what doctrine. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. But I'm telling you, God is raising up a supernatural people. And we're seeing signs and wonders here. I'm telling you, don't be fooled by us being in Little Loganville here. God is doing things that I'm telling you, I don't know if he's doing anywhere else. He is. He's doing things supernaturally in people's lives. And he's healing people. And he's doing miracles in people's lives. And it's not all... We know there's a battle, and we know that there's things that we walk through. We know that. But God's little by little putting together a group of people here that say, "Hey, we're going to hold up our part of the remnant and we're calling out for people across this earth that have a like-minded spirit to join and be a part of that."
You just kind of hit on the last thing that I wanted to say for this episode of the podcast, and that is everything that we talked about the Old Testament and how it still rings true, how it still holds weight, and how God doesn't change. Same thing goes for all the miracles that you read about in the Old Testament. God still does those for his people, and Jesus even said that we're going to do greater miracles.
Amen. 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 All right, Benji, Amen. Let's close out. Tell them where they can see us and find all our services.
All right. Well, you can find us both online and live here at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville on Sunday at 11 a.m. and on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our podcast and all of our other online functions, like our Remnant Devotions that are every weeknight at 8 p.m., along with my Remnant 101 videos Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., this podcast at 8 p.m., they're available on Spotify. All our social medias include YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and we've got something coming out just about every single day of the week. Did I miss anything?
That's it. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. I hope you come out and see us sometime soon. God's doing mighty things, and we want to see the prophetic, anointed word of God change your life. Come visit us sometime. God bless you.